But yes, you can do that. You can,
I don't know. You can have three or four loops if you want to and really get in the center of things. Like if you were putting a computer together and you wanted to find out how things were really working, so you have a loop near the power supply and have something near the hard drive, and so and mix them all together. So yes, I do. Yeah. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, we don't have a cordless mic. Otherwise, it would be good. You may approach the bench, sir. The one right here, right in front of me.
So, Mike, this is Roger. Can you hear me? Hello, Mike.
Hi.
It's Roger.
Yes.
I wanted you to mention a couple of other things. One is I know that you condition the audio that you're listening to so you can understand it better by using a graphic equalizer. And also I'm aware that you have a receiver that that gets all frequencies in the world or something so you can listen to wireless mics and ALDs and stuff without having an ALD. Could you comment on those a couple of things like that?
That's true. You got to find them, but that's true. If you have a what you would term a general coverage receiver, they nowadays they call them wideband receivers. And you know, and you're sort of familiar with the frequency bands that wireless microphones use, you can search for them. But usually, the best way to listen to the best way to receive assist the listening devices is to listen to the transmitter that everything is mixed to. Because the thing about wireless microphones is they're people are holding them, you know, and they get people holding them just so they, you know, horizontally, vertically, the angles in between, and they're very hard to receive. So if you want a receiver for assisted listening, you need to use the primary transmitter.
What about the graphic equalizer?
I don't understand what. At home, I use a graphic equalizer for. I have all my audio connected in there. The telephone, signals from my computer, they all connected to a graphical equalizer. What an equalizer does is that it takes your audio spectrum and divides it up into 10 bands, sometimes 12. And you can take these bands and you can boost them or cut them. And usually, in like when I was using analog hearing aids, I use cochlear implants now. But when I was using analog hearing aids, I found that the frequency band around 1500 hertz, if I cut it, if I reduced it, I could hear markedly better than if. Otherwise, and in my when I'm listening to the television, when I listening to the television, I'm often cutting the low frequencies and boosting the high frequencies and notching the mid range. It gets kind of complicated, And at SVCB, in fact, in our meetings, our sound system has a graphical equalizer on it. And one of the really cool things about those devices is that if you are plagued with feedback, acoustical feedback, and if you know where it is in the spectrum that the feedback is happening, you can take the little lever that cuts that portion of the spectrum and cut it a little bit, and it controls the feedback quite well.
Awesome. Any other questions? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, neck loops cost $45, $40 to $45. Of course, you need your amplifier. But if you have a device like a book port plus, or the PlexTalk Pocket, or the older, I think, what was that called? The CD version.
Oh, the PTR2.
Yeah, those, you can configure those so that they're an amplifier, so you don't have to worry about the amplifier. So then you'll need a headset. You know, you don't want to connect this to a speaker normally the way I did here, because it can make quite a racket. Yeah, but it's cheap. Oh, yeah. I think you asked me, can you use it on the telephone? Yes.
Yep. What she was saying was that if you're going to be recording somebody, you have to alert them that you're going to be recording them. And that's common practice, and it is the law, in California at least.
Yes. Sorry, I'm.
Is there a particular place that you find better than others to get your neck loops from? Because I know that a lot of audiologists don't deal with that. They don't like to deal with the system listening devices. They like to sell hearing aids only. A lot of them.
Well, the neck loops that hearing aid people use can be found at any dealer. That in most hearing aid dealers have them. And they could sell you one. Other places where you can find them, well, you can just Google net loop, and they'll get all kinds of hits. The device, the Radio Shack, the telephone induction coil, of course, you buy that at Radio Shack. And the last time I checked, it was still there. They were still carrying it, so...
How much did you spend for that? As far as the cost, how much did that cost you?
How much is the phone induction coil?
I'm sorry?
The cost of the phone induction coil?
The induction coil, that's $5.
Ah, big time spender.
It's very cheap.
Yes. Good. Go ahead.
The only expensive part of this is the amplifier, and if you're using, a PlexTalk Pocket, BookPort Plus, you've got the amplifier. One thing I should say though, you can't do this with the Victor Stream, because the Victor Stream, When you use it, when you use, connect the external microphone plug to the Victor stream, the headphone output, the output is cut off. And see, the thing you need, if with an amplifier, you need input connected to the neck loop and output connected to headphones. So if the headphones are cut off, you won't hear anything. So you can't use a Victor stream. If you had that device, by all means, you would use it. But well, yeah. If you had a connection to the RJ11, you would use it because the signal quality is far better. But the only thing is that.
This is Donna Sanchez. Can't you get, aren't you supposed to be able to get the neck loops from the telephone, the
CTAP? Yes. CTAP? Yes.
Yeah.
I would be surprised.
Yes,
they can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, like, okay, you have your VCR, your DVD player. And you say, I've got this toy here. What can I hear? Well, you hear the display, you hear the motor, and you hear clicks and crackles that say, oh, it's recording. I can tell it's recording. I'm going to stop the recording and see how those noise changes. That's the whole idea behind this toy. Yeah. You get to learn. You get to be a little bit more intimate with the equipment you have.
Okay, I'm so sorry, folks. But anyhow. One comment that I want to make regarding assistive listening devices, and I just learned this yesterday. I was at a CPUC meeting, and we were discussing CTAP services and CTAP programs. And one of the things that was brought up was assistive listening devices. They do have telephones for the hard of hearing. They also have listening loops and other devices that you can use. In addition, Independent Living Aids does sell assistive listening devices and assistive listening device resources. I wasn't aware of that, but in talking to Janice Pope, she indicated to me that they do have a lot of the stuff, and I checked on their web, and they do have hearing loops and other devices. Any other questions for Mike?
I'm sorry. Somebody will have to help me. Rob, you want to help me out?
Okay. No. No. I was just asking if anybody had any other question for you, Mike. Okay. Hearing that. Mike, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Now comes the fun part. No, that was great. I learned a lot about this stuff, and I'm going to get some toys for myself to play with. I got to play with an equalizer, that's for sure. All right. Shifting gears a little bit. Next, we're going to have a lady that makes a living teaching people how to use stuff and play with toys. There's a lot of stuff out there that's available for as far as housewares, kitchen, and medical aids, and some personal items like currency readers and note tellers and that like. So Marie Herrera is a teacher who teaches independent living skills. She uses a lot of the assistive technology to help her students. She has to deal with people that have to have pre-measured food, and so therefore you need to have some of those devices. And then there's other tools that she uses in the kitchen. I can tell you that she makes good use of them because I've lost a lot of weight not. And she never stops cooking, so I can prove that. Anyway, I'm going to have Marie take over now and talk to you about some of the technology that she works with on a daily basis and why she shows her students. And perhaps there may be some things. I can tell you guys that one of the things that I wanted to, I was working on to helping Marie coordinate was to get some of the devices that she has today. I was hoping that we can get some that are bilingual, because we do have a Hispanic population that is also visually impaired, and a lot of this technology does exist. However, I was informed this morning, and I said it earlier, that one of the boxes that was being shipped from New York, UPS can't seem to track it down, so it was supposed to be at our house on Monday, and as of this morning, they haven't found it. So, nevertheless, I will turn the microphone over to Marie, and she can tell you about the assistive technology she works with. So, Marie, pick up the microphone.
Thank you. Can you all hear me? Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. I see a lot of familiar faces. Good to see everybody. And thank you for taking the time to come and listen to what I have to say. As my husband Louis said, yes, I teach independent living skills to junior blind. Some of my students are in the audience. Yay. And some of my students have seen some of these items, and some they have not, because I have brought them yet to use, but they will find out about them today. I'm going to start off with, many people know about the iBill, and Stephanie has one. I'm not sure if some of the students have seen it or others have seen it, but I also brought along one of the older money readers. And in testing it out this morning, we found a fluke with one of the newer models that many of you might have. So I'm going to let you hear what it says right now. Can you hear that it said one? Okay, this morning I put a $5 bill in here, and it told me it was a 50. So you've got to be careful with your electronic devices. They could tell you the wrong information. So I'm going to hand over my dollar bill to Stephanie so you can hear what the iBill has to, how it pronounces the number one.
Okay. The device that she just used is larger than the dollar bill, and it has a platform in which you can slide it and align it. The iBill is very small, fits in the palm of your hand, and has a slit. On each side, there is a button, and those buttons are used to adjust the iBill. You can have it three different levels of volume, or you can have it do a vibrate sequence, or you can have it do a beep sequence. Let's see what we've got.
One.
Okay, one. One. So you heard it say one, single. So this was... Okay.
Doesn't want to work.
What's it say? Okay, you couldn't. It wasn't. It's the vibrate is not loud enough to hear, but when the vibrate is in your hand, you can feel it. And there's a sequence: one for a $1 bill, two for a $2 bill, three for a $5 bill.
Yep.
And then I believe it's a long short for 10.
Yes.
I can't remember the 20 and the 50 and the 100. Okay. Here's your $1 bill back.
Thank you for paying my money back. Now, that iBill, the iBill is nice and compact. It's small. Women can have it in their purse. Men can keep it in their pocket. And it's a handy tool to have.
The iBill is approximately $99 from most vendors.
Can I make a question?
Thank you, Andrea.
Is there a discount, Andrea? Come on, you're peddling something. You got to give them a discount.
Okay. Thank you for that information. Now, moving on to something else I use. Now, many of you do labeling at home, whether you use a Dymo labeler with Dymo tape, you use the ColorMate color identifiers, whether you use the aluminum color tabs for labeling, or bump dots, wiki sticky sticks, Velcro strips. You can cut that into different shapes if you want and use that for labeling purposes, as well as, I believe I said bump dots. But one other thing that I have is called a Voxcom. A Voxcom, you can pre-record on little cards which look like the size of a credit card. They have a hole at one end, and they have a spiral kind of rubber band that you could put around something. Now, with this, you pre-record, as I said. Let me see if I can do it now. It's the box that I insert the credit card into. It looks like a cassette recorder, and all I'm going to do is press in and press the card down and record. Benazepril, take one tablet every day for blood pressure. Okay, I just recorded. Now I want to hear what I recorded.
Benazepril, take one tablet every day for blood pressure.
Now this is a nice tool to have, because let's say you have your closet organized, and let's say you have for men, a blue suit. You can pre-record your tags, put this around the hanger, and always know, and then just carry your little machine with you and say, oh, you know, my husband's looking for his blue suit. No, let me see what's on this hanger. You know, blue suit, brown shirt, brown pants. And this is a nice thing also for your kitchen. You can put rubber bands around your hands and then just spiral around the rubber band and go along when you need to identify something. Just bring your box along, slip your card in, and find out what the item is. Yes, it is, through MaxiAids. It slips my mind, but I can find out the information for you. If you can contact me through Louie.
And Marie, can
you
reuse the
card? Yes, you can.
Yeah, they're just little strips of magnetic tape.
Yes, on a credit card. Really nice and handy.
How long can you record?
You can record as long as I'm sure. 45 seconds. Thank you, Louie. Now, moving on a little bit, I have what many of you have, but this is a newer model.
Marie,
yes.
Before you move on, I would like to say that device was developed by a lady named Mildred Frank. She passed away last July. She was well into her 90s, and she was very well known for doing all kinds of things like that to help people with visual impairments out. She herself is low vision.
Thank you, Bernice.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Now moving on to something that many of you have or do not have is one of the newest liquid level indicators. I have an empty cup. I slip the prong part of the level indicator over the cup. I have a glass of ice water. I'm going to slowly pour into the other cup, and hopefully they'll give me a bzzz. Let's see.
I like that, Marie.
Thank you.
Beep, beep. It beeped.
A very weak beep, beep, but let me try it one more time.
What is that one called?
The liquid level indicator. Yes.
Or independent limitation.
Yeah. I did it. It beeped. Go ahead, do it.
It's the
over here, right there. Yes, it is. There it goes. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's... I don't want to go. I'm enjoying it. My battery must be low, but it does beep. Oh, happy birthday! Okay. Yeah. Those you can get Independent Living Aids, Maxi Aids. That one was from Independent Living Aids. And those are $10.95. Now, another toy I have that I use a lot to maintain my husband's weight is a food scale. Oh. It says zero right now, but I'm going to put an egg inside and see how much the egg will, a couple of eggs. 2 ounces.
4 ounces.
I'll do it one more time.
Zero. 4 ounces.
4 ounces. So let's say you're on a Jenny Craig plan or Weight Watchers and you have to measure your meat and or vegetables. It's good to do it before cooking. That way you don't give yourself more than you're supposed to have. But
4 ounces.
And it's a nice clear voice.
110.
And it also tells you grams if you wish to measure in grams.
It has a platform in which a pole sits on, and she's putting the items in the bowl. Because I have a tiny one at home that's much smaller that has an Australian accent that is just a platform.
Okay. That's Stephanie.
There's a team of Stephanie and Marie doing their show.
Yes. Okay, the next item I'm going to demonstrate is
your thermometer was here somewhere.
Oh, here it is. Thank you. Yeah, okay. A food thermometer. Let's say you want to know how if your chicken has done this, your beef, whatever. It's a long prong, and it has, when I press the button, it will tell you. Let's see, I'm going to put it in my hand, see how warm my hands are. Okay, I'm too cold. Doesn't want to measure my... There is... I'm 82 degrees. Okay, I went up a little bit. I'm 83 degrees.
Is that a new one, Marie?
It's one made by... it's fairly new, Ken. I believe it is...
Where's the box?
Right here. Hold on, we'll tell you in a second.
If there's paper still in here. No paper in there. No directions, I can't tell you.
Yes. We have to contact Maxi Ace for this one again, because it did not have any. Told me I was 83 degrees. Wait, here it is, Stephanie. Uh-huh.
It's
not a microwave,
it's okay.
Yes. Not yet.
Is that the thermometer one that you put in the oven?
No.
No, not this one, no. You're sticking to your meat. Yes.
Last summer, a year ago, I bought one from Blind Mice Mart, that new meat thermometer.
Yes.
The stores no oven thermometer.
No, but you know what? With all these new devices out there, who knows? It may be something that you guys may have in the near future. I can tell you that there's discussion about a device that can monitor your household appliances through wireless using a new technology called Ant Wireless. And it'll pick up the data, and it can be hooked up to your computer to also pick recipes and configure itself.
That's
something that could be available in the near future.
YL101 Talking Food Twitter.
What is it?
I bet you that's a trailblazer.
YL101 Talking Food Thermometer.
Okay. Okay, the thermometer that we were testing in my hand is called a YL101 Talking Thermometer by I pronounce it as Reizen. And that's sold through Maxi Aids. R-E-I-Z-E-N.
The instructions don't tell us the range of temperature.
Just tells you how to change the batteries.
That has the long program.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, Ken. Yes. Yes, I can. I'll find it.
I think when I was looking at this one on the internet, Ken, I think you're right. I think it goes up to like 550. Yeah, I think Ken's right. It does go from minus 50 to 550. And that's why one of the reasons why we chose to get it, because it was very portable. And it's only two buttons you worry about. And I think it's about, with tax and everything, it was like $41.
I believe so.
Yeah. Yes.
Does it have a clip on it to put on the pan?
No.
No, but it's got a hole on the top of the handle so that you can put a strap or a loop and just hang it from your what do you call it?
Wrist.
Your wrist, or you can hook it onto on the side of your stove or whatever, wherever you want to use it. It does have a little hook on the top.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
This one you can do candy and all kinds of stuff because candy has to go up to 300 to 400 degrees.
Correct.
Yeah, but you can't stop when you're making candy.
Well, but you can still put it in there with one hand while you're stirring and press the button and still get a temperature.
Yeah, because it's the way the buttons are situated, you're easily able to hold on and operate it with a thumb or index finger while stirring with the other hand.
Okay, one other thermometer I brought along is a
90.2 degrees. Your body temperature is 90.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, I warmed up from 83 from the food, okay.
Guess we had you in the oven long enough.
I guess so. No, this is for your body, okay, this thermometer. Which is good to have because years ago when I could see, it was a very high partial, I could still see the numbers on the regular thermometer. But, now I must use this. Times have changed, and Marie's eyesight has gotten bad. So that's one of the other ones. By the way, after the demonstration, everything's over, you're welcome to come and look at all these products that I have over here, okay?
Where did you get that one?
That one was from ILA, Independent Living Aids.
Also, some of the Walgreens will carry talking thermometers, and they do have them.
And large print thermometers. Not yet.
No, there
is?
There is. Yeah, I
thought
speak to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Now we're going to test Stephanie's blood pressure. See how?
And I've been rushing everywhere.
She's been rushing everywhere, so this is one of the new blood pressure talking brothers. No, not the wrist one. We've been finding out, and I've been talking to a lot of people. A lot of people don't like the wrist one because it doesn't give you a correct reading. No, this is from
Maxie 8.
You're the one operating it.
I know. Doesn't want to stick it. Yeah, just about. Okay, let's see how. Okay, hold on. It's going to tell us.
Your blood pressure is 116/69.
Oh, that's excellent!
Got lucky.
She must be calm and cool and calm. That's
your blood
great.
Blood pressure is 100.
That's the best it's been in a long time.
Over 69.
Okay.
And
pulse
is 90.
Pulse is 97.
Oh. She's racing a little. Wow, that's great, Stephanie.
Your blood pressure is 100.
This very same device is available through Independent Living Aids in both English and Spanish for those of you that may want to get one that's bilingual.
Louis bought that one, so you'll have to tell them the price, Louis.
I think we got it with the extra big cuff because of my small arms. Altogether it was $139. $129. Specially made, what can I tell you?
Okay. Stephanie is going to let you know what name it is. She's reading the box as we...
Life-sourced blood pressure monitor. Talking auto inflation.
This is my last thing. Okay. Are you going to say something?
No, go.
Okay, one of the last things I brought this afternoon is something I saw on TV, and I've been thinking about this. I mentioned it to Louis. In the future, I was hoping that I could probably present as seen on TV products. This one I do use in the classroom for those people that have a hard time cracking eggs. This product is called the Crack-It. Right now, I've got an egg inside the two little circular holders.
You're not going to cook it now.
No, I'm not. Who likes raw eggs? And I'm going
Don't
to
break the
hit the handle, and it's going to crack the egg perfectly in half.
Let her go ahead and do it, Louie. She's got a bowl.
Yes, I do have. I brought a bowl.
Ta-da! And the
shell is perfectly cut in half.
She'll leave the shell in the crack.
I'm going to leave the shell in the crack it so that those of you that would like to see it can come and see it.
Where did you get that from?
This I ordered through QVC. It was only $19.95.
For two?
For two of them. Yes.
The reason I had seen it on QVC. She had seen it once before as a TV ad, as seen on TV. I saw it on QVC, and I thought that it was going to pair. And so I said to Marie, this would be a good time to get it, so you can have one in your classroom and one at home, because at that particular time, we had several students who could only use one hand at best due to other secondary disabilities.
So we do use that at Junior Bi. Yes, you do. There is a little insert that you can put in. You can separate your yolks from your whites. Yes. So would any of you be willing to come to a demonstration to see as seen on TV products? That's because yes, Ken.
Stuff over?
No, Ken. Okay. You'll send me the... Uh-huh. Stephanie has the other stuff.
I'm as ready as I'm going to be. Okay. I have a clock, too. I'll put the clock first.
All right, guys.
QVC. Between Ken, Max, and Stephanie Rude, they're the king and queen of QVC. Okay, now I'm going to turn my another part of the presentation over to Stephanie, who's going to describe some other items that I use, not only I, but she uses as well.
So well, Stephanie. I have a clock which I purchased from Independent Living Aids. Some of you have heard of the Mushi, the larger clock that you might have at home that you plug in. Well, I got a travel size.
The time is 2:18 p.m. Command, please.
Help.
After pressing the IVR button, you can say time, set alarm, sound, temperature, help, or turn off the alarm. In between the alarm, you can say snooze or turn off the alarm. You can turn off the alarm manually by pressing the alarm on-off button on the right side. Command, please.
Temperature?
The temperature is 75 degrees Fahrenheit. Command, please.
Set alarm.
What time would you like your alarm set to?
5:15 a.m.
The alarm is now set to 5:15 a.m. Command, please.
Alarm sound?
To choose an alarm sound, say, alarm 1, alarm 2, or alarm 3.
Alarm 3. Right, on the side. Voice. Yes. I don't know if it has time announcements. I got it specifically for traveling and having an alarm clock that I could set.
What's it called?
It's the Mushi Travel Alarm Clock.
What's it called?
I got it from ILA, and you know I purchased a couple of things, and I didn't ask the price because it was something that I needed. It comes in three different colors. I happen to have it in pink. That way I won't lose it. If it falls on the floor, it's bright. Yeah, they have a large one which you plug in, and you also have a battery backup, and you can talk to it from across the room and not have to touch it. The smaller one, the medium-sized one, you do have to touch it in order to get it to ask you for the command. The same with this one. You do have to touch it. The only one that will do from a distance is the very large one, and you have to say, hello, Mushi.
Yeah, and Mushi, for those of you that are totally blind, it's a clear, it's a see-through display.
So the other two
I actually have three products, but one I'll leave up here for you guys to see is a Ruby magnifying portable CCTV. It is by Freedom Scientific. It has four buttons that are easily operated and of bright colors to turn it on and off, change your color settings, change your magnification. There are three magnifications, and to freeze. So let's say, for instance, I'm in the grocery store. I want the price of an item that's above my head. Instead of climbing up the shelf to look at it, I'll take a freeze picture and then bring it down to my eyes where I can read it. Or the same with the price when it's down at the floor instead of crawling on the floor. Which... There's all kinds of handheld CCTVs out there. Yes, this is the new Ruby. I just I won it. I won it at a presentation about a month ago. And then I just received it about 2 weeks ago. So I haven't had time to play with it per se, except for read my mail. The other two products I have. One I haven't used in a while, but I will do my best. It's the Intel Reader. The plus with the Intel Reader, besides reading, you can read books. It'll take an SD card. You can also shoot a image of a product, and it should come back and read to you, provided it can OCR it correctly. But it also gives you the visual image. For those who are partially sighted, you can zoom and pan and look at the information that's also been taken a picture of. So I will unlock it and turn it on. Maybe. This is HumanWare. The Intel Reader, I believe, is still on sale for it's either $850 or $895. They may have dropped the price yet again. They're having it also will work with a Braille display. Their Braille display. The Apex, yes. It's loading. It takes a while when it first loads because it has to go through and load the software each time you turn it on. And it says Intel Reader, and I'm still waiting.
Home menu. Library.
Library.
Recent items. Shoot mode. Settings. Help.
Settings, you can change things like the size, the voice, the size of the menu, the voice, the whether it's a male or a female. I'm going to go to shoot mode.
Shoot mode. Shoot mode.
Louis gave me a package, and we'll see whether or not it can read it. I don't have any flat printed material right now, so. And this is shiny, and it's wrinkled.
It's only 3 months.
We'll see. It's processing.
Press shoot to capture another image. Press play to hear your text. Processing.
Processing. You have to have patience.
RFFTRTTRVN fax.
It didn't like his pretzel package.
Yep.
Focusing.
And this is the instructions to Marie's food thermometer.
Processing.
Hmm? Oh, how big is it? It's about the size of a little bit bigger than a paperback book. Heavier. No, you can buy a stand, and that's separate. I chose not to buy a stand. For those, now, I'm partial, so.
Y'all, -101 talking food thermometer instruction 1. Use a clean thermometer. Wash the thermometer probe, the part inserted into the food, with hot soapy water before/after each use. Do not immerse whole thermometer in water. 2. Insert the thermometer into the center of the thickest portion, placed midway of the food. About 10 seconds are required for the temperature to be accurately displayed. Or press the FT button for fast test of food temperature. 3. Press talk button to speak the food temperature in Fahrenheit. 4. The thermometer will auto power off after use. 5. If a food is irregularly shaped, you may need to check the temperature in several places. Allow microwaved food to stand for a few minutes after cooking. This distributes the heat, cooking the food evenly. Attention! If the LCD screen lets in the sound becomes weak or the function is abnormal, BMJIIFETE batteries 2032X1DC enter document.
As you can see, it didn't quite get changed the battery. But it may have been wrinkled, or that might have been where a fold was. There were 3 folds on that sheet of paper. So with the folds, it only screwed up at the end. I have used this with foods that, for instance, Trader Joe's does not participate in the barcode scanner by Envision America. Neither does, at this point, Fresh and Easy. And so with those products, I tend to use this to read the ingredients or the instructions or stuff that I cannot read otherwise. The barcode reader, I'm going to turn on, and it's got a...
Omni V3.
Mine's not the newest version.
1 GB card, ID mode.
And so now I'm going to...
Product. Coca-Cola. Continued.
Continued, which means there's more information.
Package size. 20 fluid ounces, 1.25 pints, 591 milliliters. Product description. Low sodium. Original formula. Caffeine content, 23 mg 8 fluid ounces, 57 mg 20 fluid ounces.
Okay, I'm going to go back to scan mode.
Will it tell us the sugar?
It will go through, and in many things, it'll go through the whole nutritional value and how to cook it and how to store it, whatever's on the package. Louis has just getting people are handing me all kinds of stuff that have been eaten or used.
Product. Cliff Bar Energy Bar Crunchy Peanut Butter. Continued. Product. Broke pretzels, tiny twists. Product. Trident Sugarless Gum with Xylitol, original flavor. Product. Sun Chips Multigrain Snacks, harvest cheddar flavor. Continued.
Now, let's see. I went to the drugstore yesterday.
No, I have not.
No, that wasn't.
You all that stuff recently, you'll throw the trash.
Well, I came across. Now, listen.
This will tell you how good it was.
Now, Louis Herrera.
That was a toy, not him.
Okay, this next product was not found, but you'll see what we can do. I haven't done this.
Item not found.
Item not found.
To record, press and hold the record button.
Baby powder.
Baby powder.
So I made my own label.
Baby powder.
And so it read it that time. Let's see what else I have in my bag.
Product. Crest fluoride anti-cavity toothpaste. Minty fresh striped.
Oh, toothpaste.
Continued.
Yes.
CF.
Product. Renew multi-purpose solution. Fresh lens comfort. Carry-on size.
Stephanie, the question was asked, is that database in the memory or in?
The database is on a CF card. The newer version may take an SD card. I don't know. Mine is the original ID mate was a two-piece unit. It was a unit, and then the scanner was a handheld item that you could move around. This is a mid-size unit, which is handheld, and the whole unit is in one piece. And now the Summit, which I believe is the next size, smaller. So it keeps getting smaller, and the database size that it can handle keeps getting larger. My database is out of date. I can go to the Envision America and update my database. So Envision America.
What price is the Summit?
You know, I'd have to look.
$500.
Thank you, Barry.
If you take your card to the National Convention every summer, they will update your card, your database for free.
That's right.
That's right. That is correct.
Roger was saying that it may be RFID tags, but actually there's so much invested in barcode technology right now that for them to drop it, I'm sure it'll go away, but I don't think it's going to be in the near future. There's a lot of stuff going out there with digital signatures and digital technology that, you know, using new methods to, you know, yeah, use all sorts of different techniques for identifying or labeling stuff. That barcode is old technology. It's been around since the 80s and even before. But commercially, it's been available, you know, for consumer purchase.
So if you're old as I am, you can safely buy
it. There you go.
Lewis, I have five more items.
Go.
Let's see if they see them. But I got to restart the machine because it went turned itself off.
1 gigabyte card, ID mode.
Hang on, there's a lady with a question here. Go ahead.
Febreze air refresher, spring and renewal. Continued. Product. Secret antiperspirant deodorant, invisible solid, powder fresh. Continued. Product. Scope mouthwash, original mint. Product. Eucerin Daily Moisturizer, Calming Cream.
Yeah, I gotta find the
continued. Item not found. To record, press and hold the record button.
Okay, the last item it said it didn't recognize.
Cancelled.
And I didn't record. The last item will happen to be a mix of Q-tips and cotton balls and other, like a cotton pad. So it got almost all but the two items. And it'll also do CDs, DVDs, a whole realm of different things with they have a barcode.
How do you find the barcode?
In most packaging, with boxes, it usually is near the bottom. If you know where the front is, it's usually on the back. But if you don't, I set it down and just turn it. And because the ID Mate, it has an omnidirectional scanner, it allows it. It doesn't care which way the barcode is facing, as long as it can see the barcode. With canned goods, the same thing. It's usually on the back, and you just keep turning it till it finds it.
Does it tell you right away when it finds it?
Yeah, well, it beeps. It made a beep sound. Yes, there are iPhone apps. I do have two different iPhone apps that do barcode scanning.
Yes.
Speak up.
On your medication bottles, do you have anything that you recommend for labeling the medication?
Penfriend.
Penfriend
is the best thing.
Marie?
Penfriend is good, but I do, well, if you read Braille, what I do is I order or purchase diskette labels, and I Braille on them. Because they're clear, you can still put them over your bottle should you have a sighted person looking for your medication. They can still see what the bottle says. We had an episode at home where I became ill, and I needed to call 911, and the paramedics came, and they said, how do you know what you – because I explained to them first I was visually impaired. They said, do you take medication? I said, yes. So I grabbed my bottles, which are nearby, and I start reading them with my finger. How do you know that's what it says? Because I did the Brailing, I labeled, and this way you can see what I'm reading, and I handed him the bottle, and he was able to read what I had just read him. Very cheap. Yeah.
Roger.
And Walgreens will also do your labels in large print, and they will also do your labels in Spanish if you need them in Spanish.
But Envision America also has a
Script Talk. Yes. And also Kaiser has talking pill bottles, which have a button on them.
Yes.
Somebody had a question back there? Yes.
Two things. I wanted to know if the barcode scanner that IRPI is on.
No.
It's kind of an interesting device. It's first of all, it's like a stream of place books, and it's a color identifier, and it's a barcode thing. All in one. But
yes. No.
Something that I'd like to see the technology committee work on.
Yes.
And that is the food scale. That's fine for measuring by weight, and there's a lot of applications for that, even weight, postage, and all kinds of things. But the food scales that they have now, and I've seen two different brands on QVC and in infomercials and whatever, is they not only
I'm sure that a bunch of people would like to have that. I know that we would like to have something like that. I can tell you right now that a lot of this technology that's being digitized, it's amazing how all this stuff ties in together. Through the 21st Century Communications Act, and there's several subsections of Section 508 and Title 255, This devices may be very, very much available in the near future, because nowadays all the technology that is required, the digital data, is already there. The audio source is already there. So now all they need to do is do what they're doing with some of the cell phones, like the Haven, that has a built-in speech engine. There's no speech program. It's a speech engine that's built right into the unit itself, and it makes it much better. So a lot of these things may become more and more accessible. I know that there's a project going on with Sears, through Kenmore's, their household appliances for accessibility being implemented. So there's something in that with that. There's a project going on through Cal Poly San Luis Obispo called the QL Project, QL.org, if you guys want to go look it up. Anyway, it's something that I'm involved with. I'm going to be working on several things to keep these geniuses working in the development of new products, accessible products, and re-engineering some of the resources that are out there that need to be made accessible. So there's something that I will take back when I go to our next meeting at Cal Poly and discuss these things, because this is funded through San Luis Obispo and also Cal Poly Pomona. But the thing is that through they're getting funding through the government, through the VA, and through other sources to move on some of these projects. And you have master students that are being handed projects to work on. So here's something that they can look into and facilitate the accessibility for us and making it affordable. Since it is done through the academia, corporate greed will not take over and raise jack up the price. Okay, anything else, Stephanie?
That's it. It's 2:40.
One last thing, Louis.
Yes.
If you remember back in Germany about 10 years ago, I'm not who the name of the company was, but they created a talking washing machine. Her name was Hermione, and every time you put a piece of clothing in, it would tell you the color. I don't know if they're still worked on it, but that was about 10 years ago when I heard about that. And now it's going to be Ishmael's turn.
You're colorblind. All right. Well, thank you, Stephanie and Marie. You guys did wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. Don't say it, Ron. Okay. Wonderful. As I said, a lot of these devices that Marie was showing, the intent was to get us an assortment of updated resources, including a talking pill bottle organizer that you guys would have enjoyed hearing, because it's very cool. It's a very cool product. And this is not the end of this. Even though we may have other stuff going on at the technology session, I'm going to talk to our organization president, because what I would like to see done is have the Marie and Stephanie show tackle other sessions where they can do demonstrations of other products and, demonstrate this. But one of the things that I can tell you is, had the box gotten here, you would see a lot of this newer updated stuff, but also see other stuff that's out there. There's light probes that help the visually impaired. I have a friend who, for 4 days, she didn't know that her lights were on in her house. And it turns out that when a neighbor came over, the neighbor left and turned off the lights, so she didn't know. So when you have situations like that, it makes it a little embarrassing sometimes. Yes? That's the best one, because the Colorino also has the newer version has got a light. It'll tell you if the light is on. It's got a sensor. Yeah. It's cool. Good.
Thank you, Barry.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Marie, once again. Wonderful. Now, how many of you guys like Netflix and YouTube? I know that I've seen Ken on YouTube, but I won't say what he was doing. No, actually, guys, TV technology is interesting. It is constantly changing. And TV accessibility is getting better and better and easier. One of the things that I wanted to do for this session or for this convention, and because of time constraints and a few other things, hasn't worked out. But in the near future, you guys will have a chance to not only hear about but also experience playing with a Android TV that's got speech out of the box. I'm talking about, you want to read the credits they're on the screen, they are not being read by the narrators, that'll read them to you. Do you want to read, you want to put in a DVD and read the credits, you can browse to them. You want to be able to go and bring up Google Chrome and go navigate the internet, you can do that. Okay? Android is slowly taking over some of the things, and because of their partnership with Sony, Google TV has been on YouTube. If you guys go and look up Google TV, Sony Google TV on YouTube, you can hear. It's a very cruddy thing. Okay, I'll take it out of the bag. I'm doing a full video thing on it, and it's going to be on YouTube, and I'm also doing a podcast for the FCC on this. So we have a TV that's already hooked up to DirecTV. And the cool thing about when you pair it up with DirecTV, and those of you that have satellite, you know you have an info button. And you press the info button, but nobody tells you what the hell's going on there. How would you like to be able to scroll up and on the screen and read it yourself? Hey, all right. Well, now, that's not it, though. Now, that's in the near future. Today, Apple TV gives you a great deal of functionality. Apple TV was a cool thing. I have Apple TV, but do I use it? No, my brother does, because he picked it up quicker than I did. He liked it. I myself, I've been too busy. I'm finally finishing up a master's degree in assistive technology and human services. Huh, Stephanie?
She's busy.
No, she's busy. But anyway, we're finishing up that. But nevertheless, Apple TV is a real cool thing. It's a cool product. It's very accessible. And you can run it from your Apple computer. You can run it from your iPhone. And in order for you to learn more about it, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Ismael Herrera, who is going to tell you about it. And then he'll show you about it because he has it here. He brought it. And, hey Ken, how's your sense of touch? Because he's using HDMI, and I want you to feel the screen and feel the energy. Sucks. Shoot. Well, anyway. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to my brother, and he'll tell you about that, and then I'll come back to bore you guys with other technology stuff. Okay.
That's right. Good afternoon. Before we get started on getting into the Apple TV, there are two things I would like to bring up before we get started. The Apple TV, for those of you who are not familiar, is in the industry, is called a set-top box. And essentially, there's about four set-top boxes out there in the market. Two of them are driven by software, of which I'm not sure how well they do in the Windows environment, but in the Mac environment, you will not have any problems. The other one is the one that Louis mentioned, which is the Google TV, which does have running in the background Android. And, of course, the one that I'm going to be speaking on is the Apple TV. Unfortunately, the internet connection here, guys, sucks. Okay, so sorry about that. I had intended to show you a couple of movies that I downloaded last night. Of course, I am frugal when it comes to movies. I look for the 99-cent movies. And they're good movies, believe it or not. They're very good movies. So having said that, let's get started. When you first turn on your Apple TV, it places you on the home screen of the Apple TV. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to... what I had intended was to show you the movie library that is offered through Apple in conjunction with, of course, I was going to have access to the Internet. Well, I was hoping to have access to the Internet and show you the contrast between the movies that are offered through Google. But that was not possible. And I also was going to show you how you can use your iPhone, retrieve the data that's on my iPhone and pair it up with the Apple TV remote. Basically, you can get the songs, music library, movies, and so on and so forth. But due to network connections, it's not going to be possible. So, but I am going to show you a couple of the features which I think are kind of neat. It will give you a introduction to the Apple TV. Just before we get started, also, the closed caption, it does work on the Apple TV. I downloaded a movie. It was in Arabic. It was translated into English, and it's sitting up in the iCloud. But because we do not have access to the network, I can show it to you guys. But just want you to know that it does work. So what I did, the connection is in and out, so I was able to download a couple of things from YouTube meanwhile. So what you hear is what's on the YouTube top 10 most viewed videos. So here we go.
In computers. Turn up in internet. YouTube.
Okay.
Button. In featured on YouTube. Muammar Gaddafi, obituary. 1 of 10.
It says Rumor Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi. So there are 10 top most viewed videos here.
Gaddafi dead. Fighters insert celebrate. 2 of 10. Libya celebrates Gaddafi downfall. 3 of 10. The Telegraph Ben Farmer reports from Sirte as Gaddafi's hometown is taken. 4 of 10. Top high school football play of the week in Texas. 5 of 10.
Okay, so you get the gist of what's there.
Libya's Gaddafi dead.
So the other thing is that
1 of 10. YouTube button. 1 of 6.
Okay, so we're back on YouTube. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just press enter there. And,
come on. In YouTube. Featured. Button. 1 of 7. Most viewed. Button. 2. Most recent. Button. Top rated. Button. History. Button. Search. Button. 6 of 7.
Here's a search box where you can go ahead and enter whatever you want to search. Now, there are two things to mention to you here. If you want to use the remote control that comes with the Apple TV, you have to get used to it. The Apple TV remote control, there's only three buttons on it, one of which is a circular, just like it's on your iPod, and you can use that to navigate right, left, and to enter data. It's kind of challenging. So what I do is I usually pair my iPhone with it, or use my Mac to enter the data. It's a lot faster that way. All right.
Main menu. Internet. YouTube. Button. 1 of 1. In computers. Turn on home sharing. Button. 1 of 1.
All right, home sharing is where you can
home
pair up.
Home sharing lets you stream your movies, TV shows, music, and more from iTunes libraries in your home.
Okay, so you can stream your data not only from your Mac, your iPhone, but also Windows machines. And so you're not totally tied down to the Apple ecosystem.
In settings. General. Button. 1 of 6.
Here's where you can make all the modifications to your Apple TV.
Screensaver. Button. 2 of 6. Audio and video. Button. AirPlay. Button. 4 of 6.
That's a neat feature. If you have wireless speakers throughout your whole office or home, you can play all your data.
Computers. Button. 5 of 6.
Here is where you can select the profiles for the computers you want them to access your Apple TV.
Sleep now. Button. 6 of 6.
The sleep now is a neat feature. Last night I was messing around with it. I left the Apple TV running in the background for about 3 hours.
General.
And I was going to
YouTube. Button. 1 of 6. Photo stream. Mobile me. Flickr. Button. Radio. Button. 5 of 6.
Now, radio. Radio is, for those of you who are familiar or not familiar with iTunes, there are many radio stations that you can listen to from around the world. And so the sleep mode, in conjunction with one of my favorite radio stations online, I set it up to go off in 3 hours after I set it up. And it does go off. It works very nicely. The audio quality, considering that it's coming from all over the world, it's no different than what you are used to listening to on your desktop computer. It's very good.
Flickr. Mobile me. Button. 3 of 6.
Now, for those of you who are familiar with Apple, are familiar with Mobile Me. Mobile Me is basically a cloud service that was started some time ago and now is transitioned into what has now come to be known as iCloud. So those of you who have an iCloud Mobile Me account, you should go ahead and convert your Mobile Me account to iCloud. You will get an additional, 25 gigs of rich data on the cloud. The cloud service essentially works this way. Your photos do not count towards the usage of your data. Only your music, movies, backing up your phone, your computers, and whatnot counts. So for those of you who might have some sighted family members,
photo stream
might find
2 of 6
photo stream very beneficial, where if you if you come over to your house, you can set it up, photo stream, and basically you can have your photos moving around in your screen, just like a screensaver. And you can select up to 10,000 pictures, or you can have them stream from 1 to 1,000. So, but for that, you need to have access to the cloud. I uploaded approximately about 500 pictures, and my kids say it looks very well. So, let's see.
Button. 1 of 6.
It won't let me because it's in storage.
Photo stream. Button. 2 of 6. Mobile me. Button.
Louis was asking me if I had a movie on my computer or the iPhone. What I was counting on having, not having the problem that we're having here with the network, and I uploaded all the movies I have up to the cloud, and we don't have any. I will tell you the audio quality for the movies, as opposed to the radio stations, is actually no different. It's very clear. Now, when it comes to movies, I was going to show you there's a feature here.
Button. Radio. In theaters. Button. 6 of 6.
In theaters, so when you want to go to the movies, here's the thing you might want to consider. This is the way I do it. I usually look at the prices versus what I can buy at Google or from Apple. And it saves me the cost of messing around with access or public transit, especially when it's rainy day or we're having bad weather. That's pretty much it for me. If you have any questions, feel free this time. Otherwise, if you want to see the Apple TV, the Apple TV is about 6 by 6 inches, and it's about 2.5 inches in height. Yeah. And also, the Apple TV, it is running on a A4 processor, which is a 1 gig processor. I don't remember how much memory it has right now in storage, but it really doesn't matter because if you have an iCloud account, or you won't have any problems with running out of space. The Apple TV is $99. $99 for the Apple TV.
It's $99, and you're not obligated to run it. Right now, my brother's running it on a Dell monitor that has HDMI. Asus. Oh, I'm sorry, it's an Asus monitor. And so you can run it off that, or you can hook it up to your TV and have it, you know, stream stuff from. If the internet was decent here, you could very easily be watching stuff from the networks or from the internet, or share it from across other devices, and be able to stream through Apple TV onto your TV set at home or whatever.
You also have all the major networks represented here on the Apple TV, but because again we don't have access to the network, we could be if there was an NBA season, we could be watching that. Football season, of course, is there. Hockey, NHL, you name it, all the sports are listed there. There's a subcategory for sports. Local movies, local radio, TV stations you can get, and some of which are. They even have a channel where you can listen, view documentaries. And so that is very extensive. Now, the documentary channel, or tab, I should say, it will list about 23. And under those 23, depending on the category that you're interested in viewing, you may go from 4 to as many as 16 subcategories per each. Yes?
Something like that.
Yes.
Actually, one of the things that I thought was pretty cool, I was watching, I was playing, when I set it up for, the first time I set up one of those Apple TVs for a doctor, we were watching an NFL Monday Night Football. And interestingly enough, when the text came up on the screen, the Apple TV... the voiceover came up and started reading the text that I didn't even know was there. And it was pretty cool because I was able to hear something that the sighted people would see and we would never know about it. But Apple TV was awesome. It's cool because, correct me if I'm wrong, Ishmael, but doesn't this sound decrease so the voiceover can take over?
It does. It does drops down a couple of decibels. Also, you might want to also forgot to point out that if you're listening to a radio station, you don't have to be glued down to that radio station. If you up all the way up, you can go and navigate through your Apple TV or look at other stuff while your radio station is running in the background. So that's another neat feature. Also.
Okay.
You want to talk about Chromebox?
No, we're not going to do that right now. Very quickly, I need to give you guys a public service announcement. When you go back to your rooms, if you find that you have more luggage than when you came in, please call the front desk because there's a piece of luggage that got misplaced while they were locating people to their rooms. Apparently, somebody is missing a piece of luggage. So if you go back to your rooms and you find that you have an extra piece of luggage, no, it's not yours. You're not dreaming. Somebody dropped off an extra piece of suitcase or whatever in your room. So call the front desk and they'll come by and pick it up. As far as the Apple TV, it is something that is very accessible, very functional, and I could use it with Windows using iTunes to control it. On the Mac, of course, I can use my Mac and use iTunes, or I can just once I go and enable it, I can go in and use the remote control, which is very, very simple and easy to use, but it's tedious when you want to input a search criteria or whatever because you have to scroll up and down, left, right, and so on and so forth. But It does support Bluetooth. So if you have a Braille display, like I use the Focus, guess what? I can also input from the Focus. And it works pretty good. So just thought I'd mention that. I pair the Focus with Apple TV. Yes, sir. Apple TV. Yeah. And sometimes I'll have my Focus turned on because I have my Mac going or something, and I'm using my Focus, and I'm operating the Apple TV without a problem. So it works out real nicely. Any other questions for? Regarding the Mac, Apple. The computer itself? Okay, I beta test for Apple, and I also am an Apple user, very heavy Apple user. VoiceOver is good, very, very powerful. It's very flexible. It gives us good functionality. Will it be a total replacement for Windows? To some extent, for some people, yes. I know let me rephrase that. I know a good number of people who said that they would never leave Windows, and today they're Mac users. There are some people who use both. I have a MacBook Pro, and I have both Windows and Mac running on that Mac. Because of my contract work, I have to work in the Windows environment. But I personal stuff, I use my Mac. It's very accessible. And I use the ABIC products to scan text on the Mac. So I do have scanning capability, and I have all the text-to-speech functionality that I need on the web and in word processors and other stuff. So it is very VoiceOver itself is very powerful. If you'd like to see it after the session, I can show you. It's not a problem. Okay, any other questions on Apple TV? Okay, hearing none. Thank you very much, Israel. All right. We got to do it the right way. Don't stay, Ron. No. Okay. Now you get me. Okay. All right. You know, I was thinking to myself, what exactly is out there for accessibility as far as those of us that are ham operators, those of us that work in the technology field. I, as you all know, I think I've said it enough times, I come from an aerospace background. I've been blind since 3.5, so visual impairment is something that I've dealt with. I still do a lot with electrical stuff. I have my own professional soldering station. I also build and modify stuff. And when boss lady brings me a product that broke in school, she says, can you fix it? So we'll take it into the garage. We'll take it apart. And sometimes we have to replace capacitors, resistors. And so, yeah, there's technology out there. I have a multimeter that in the past, what I did, when I started working in aerospace, we didn't have this real cool digital stuff. We had those ones with the dials and the display that you had to look at the needles. So the old trick was to remove the faceplate and put markers in locations to get an idea where the values were based on where the needle was pointing. So that was the old technique that I used. And then Fluke came out with this real cool ones that you can hook up to the, and using software to control it, you can get the data measurements that way. And now I have coming over to the other microphone. I have a talking multimeter that I purchased through ILA many years ago, and I like it. It's one of these products that I can tell you is has been very helpful to me. I can check voltage. I can measure stuff to see how certain things work and get the accurate reading. Let's see. That's the one.
AC 0.002 volt. AC 0.008 volt.
I have
frequency
heard
8.08 kilohertz. DC minus 0.00 milliamp. DC minus 0.00 milliamp. Capacitance 0.99 nanofarad. OL.
Ohm's law. You guys remember that?
AC 0.002 volt.
Okay, so this is a multimeter that I use. It's portable. And, yeah, this is from the company that said that blind people shouldn't play with electricity because they may go blind. Or they may get hurt. Actually, it's pretty cool. I prefer my Fluke multimeter, but there's about a $1,200 price difference. So, you know, those are the breaks. So when it comes to working with electricity, I use this. I also have a real cool gadget that I like to use from time to time, and it's just an attenuation tester to find out where the hot leads are in a bushel of cables so that I don't grab the wrong cable and have it zap me. And this device is pretty cool because I can swing it around and find the cables that are live. And it sounds, let me see. See, right now there's nothing in the area, but if I had a cable that had a lot of current going through it, so it tells me where the cable is. And this is a little attenuation tester that I bought at Radio Shack for something like $6. And it you can use this if you're going around your house and you want to find out if there's current at an outlet or not. You can pretty much take this baby and put it up to the outlet. And if it starts buzzing, you know that there's current going through there. And so there may be a problem with the plug, with the cable, or it may be a problem with the actual device, but as far as data coming out of the outlet or energy coming out of the outlet, it is there. So you have that.
Can you use a regular transistor radio or any kind of radio to find out that same if there's leakage?
You may get RFI noise coming out of there, and you may get some EMI noise, but some radios don't pick that up. I had a radio pick up a bunch of noise from the old KMPC and the old KGIL in the San Fernando Valley, and yet there was no electricity hooked up to that house. So, you know, that could be misleading. But the attenuation tester is going to look for AC current going through. What, this little adapters?
Yeah, the attenuation.
Oh, yeah, you can buy it at Radio Shack.
Okay.
Yeah, you can buy it at Radio Shack, and it's very, I use it when I'm working stuff, and I also use it when I have to repair an old monitor or a TV. Even when I take apart something that is kind of stupid, but I do it anyway, it says, I've repaired microwave ovens, and there's some components in there that if they're live and they have any juice still in them, they can really do a number on your hands. So the thing is, don't put your hands in there unless you really have to. So there's that. And, of course, you all are familiar with the talking tape measure, correct? Okay, I also use talking tape measure. I also have level, audible level that tells me when I'm hanging something, if it's crooked or not, because boss lady doesn't like to see pictures kind of crooked, so I have to make sure that they're straight. Yeah. Yes. It's only 16 feet long. That's the one that I brought today, yes. IRTI was selling it. You can buy it from ILA. You can get it from Maxi8. Maxi8 doesn't sell it anymore, but ILA still carries it. I don't even know how much it is anymore because it's been a long time since. I mean, I bought one of the first ones when it first came out. And I built my own furniture, and I like to do stuff with wood. So, you know, I have one of those things. And if you go to Radio Shack, if you go to Sears, you can get, they even have the new digital levels that also are audible. They also emit a beeping noise if something is not straight. They also have stud finders if you want to find a stud on the wall. So that, you know, today's walls, if you look at them funny, they'll fall apart. But if you want to look for a stud to put something that you want to hang something heavy on the wall or whatever, or in today's home environment, people like to have those flat screen TVs and they want to put them up high where they can see. You can mount a bracket on the wall and you have to find the stud so it doesn't come down. So you can get a stud finder that's audible. And Craftsman is a real nice one and it's really blind friendly. As a matter of fact, my friend who is a professional contractor likes him. And when I showed him this one, he loves it because he doesn't have to be looking. He just listens for that beeping noise and knows where the stud is. So here again, the blind come up with something that even sighted people can make use of. Now, the other thing that I have, okay, I mentioned the calculator and the multimeter, and I measured the ruler, and I measured the other things. For those of you that are hobbyist, for those of you that are also students or working professionals that want to have a decent calculator, I have a calculator here from Scientific Products. And this is three calculators in one. It's a scientific, it's a financial, and statistic calculator. It's pretty cool. It's really neat.
Learn.
Yes, sir. Exactly, from Canada.
Clear. Function, inverse, sine, function, x, exponent, y.
And let me see here.
Clear. 5 minus 1 times 8 equals. Clear. Clear. Function. Config, function, volume, and learn.
And I was in learn mode, see? Now watch this.
5 times 8 minus 5 equals minus 5.
Now, just to show you how nice it is to switch modes, I'm going to go to, let's see.
1, function.
Excuse me?
Clear all.
Yeah, I'm going to go up to
function, sign.
Okay, clear that.
Clear, 1, function, config, 5, financial, mode, function, number of, period, error, function, nominal, interest, rate, 23 hours, 30 minutes, 25 seconds. Clear.
That's my clock. It also has a clock feature that I play with from time to time.
Function, annual, interest, rate, 50, function, x squared.
And now let's go see if I can switch modes again. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
2, function, config, 5, statistics, mode, function, standard deviation of the population, and function, x squared, 0,
function, standard deviation of the sample, y, 0, function, slope, 0.
So, okay, those are the financial, and I'm going to go back to our famous...
0, function, config, 5, standard, scientific, mode.
Okay, that's your basic standard scientific mode calculator, which is nice. This calculator I've had, going on 10 years, and it's probably the best investment I've had because I used it to work out formulas when I'm trying to do power. When I'm trying to build a power circuit and I need to make sure that I have the microvolts and the amperage set correctly, I can work out whatever formulas I need to in this thing. When I was in college taking a statistical analysis class, I was able to do all the work through this calculator. And, you know, doing financial calculations in accounting has worked out real well. So it is a really functional calculator. Is it cheap? Probably not. I can tell you that when I bought it, I paid something in the order of $349. I don't know what it is going for today. With the new modern technology, I'm pretty sure it's probably a lot cheaper. So, I mean, I'm not going to speculate and tell you that it is because it probably may not be. Remember, this is a limited market, and we got to pay them people that would like to rip us off. So, yes, it is. Yes, it is, because I told a rehab counselor about it because she wanted to get it from one of her clients, and oddly enough, she bought one. So it is still available, and it's a very functional thing. This kind of technology, even though it is an educational tool, it's also a household tool that I use when I'm doing measurements to cut wood or whatever I need to do. You know, it's a very powerful tool. That's why I thought I'd introduce that today. There's other forms of technology out there that we could look into and bring before you guys to give you guys an idea of what's out there. One of the things that I just found out about yesterday is that there is a company. Have you guys heard of a technology called BSR technology? And sometimes known as BXR. And basically what X10 technology, where you can control devices through analog switches. Well, there's this company that was at the CSUN conference early this year, and they were demonstrating a device that was similar to SAM. And what SAM used to be is a device that was a home automation unit that you can talk to and give it directions. For example, when you walk in the house, you can say, "Sam, turn on the lights." And the first thing he'll say is, "Yes, sir," right away. And it was very cool. It had a personality of its own. And when he made a mistake, he says, "I'm sorry. I'll have to pay attention better next time." So they added humor to it. And there's this gentleman who's a researcher who has done a lot of work and has come up with a more modified version that is using state-of-the-art technology, and he worked on this project for the, I guess he had a friend who had incurred an injury and couldn't operate even a light switch. So he came up with this idea, and he's trying to market this device, and I think he may be able to market to the VA. I'm not quite sure, but nevertheless, it's something that's out there, and I am going to be getting one of those machines to demonstrate. I send him the information he wanted this morning, so I'm hoping to find out when I can get my hands on one of those things. And believe me, you guys will be hearing about it because I think it'll be cool for us to be able to do, because I want to be able to control my sprinklers and everything else, you know, without having to worry about a sighted person to come in and program those switches for me. So, is there any questions on anything that you've heard of today, anything that you would like to see in the near future? Is there any other technology that you would like for us to look into and see about organizing a demonstration of a product or tools? Yes?
What is the status? I'm hearing about Apple TV. It is making me rethink that I should get rid of my cable.
Well, okay. You've heard of the 21st Century Communications Act. That is intended to make this form of technology accessible to the blind and visually impaired. Any information that appears on the screen should be accessible to us. Any functionality that sighted people can do with those devices, we should be able to do. The key thing is, I just submitted my opinion to a big group discussion that is going on tomorrow or next week in Washington regarding this very same topic. And there's movement to find ways to make things accessible. Dish Network has released an app that's very accessible for the iPad and the iPhone products, the eye products in general, that would allow the blind user to know and interact with your Dish Network system. How many of you guys know of Brad Hodges from AFB? Brad has tried it. He loves it. Okay? I have played around with it just to see what it does. I don't have Dish Network anymore. When I had it, I could feel the Dish Network was cool, especially when I figured out how to break out of their system and go in to listen to radio that I wanted to listen to. So, but to answer your question, Albert, we're supposed to be having more stuff. If you have DirecTV or you have cable TV already, those people are supposed to provide a form of accessibility as well. As I said earlier, that you know, with Google TV is ahead of everybody already. Google TV is giving you something that is a platform system that's running Android in background. It has the capability to deliver text-to-speech information. It has the capability to interact with your peripherals because they go through your main source, which is your TV. Whatever data appears on the screen gets read. I didn't believe it when I first played with the Sony Google TV. And Chris at the Sony Style Store says, I asked him, I says, are we hooked up to something? He says, you're hooked up to DirecTV. So immediately I went to check out the info button. Sure enough, it started reading. Now, this was version 2.0. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm sorry, I lied. It was 1.5 something of the TalkBack software. They're up to 2.5 or 2.0 something. It's very, very good. And with the new version of Android, Ice Cream Sandwich, as you all know, the people at Google, they're very hungry. They have all these eclair and donut and cupcake. Well, they're coming out with Ice Cream Sandwich. Well, you're at 15 restaurants. That's right. These are televisions. These are commercial televisions, consumer-oriented TVs. Samsung just released their Android TV. And if it's an Android product, I can guarantee you that you can run VoiceOver. I mean, I'm VoiceOver. Shame on me. You can use TalkBack. And there's this also, if you have an Android phone, there's this AA apps that I collaborated with the Ideal Group. Actually, it was my idea of building something that could be given to a service provider where they can just run this app. What it does, it goes out to the Android marketplace and downloads all the blind accessible apps into your phone. So they, Steve Jacobs, the president of Ideal Group, liked my idea. He went back to his staff, and they made it happen. So I'm very glad to have been able to instill in them the importance of that because a lot of people are using it. They're loving it. And with Google TV, you guys are going to see a lot more functionality. And it's good that Google is doing this because it pushes the others to make their products accessible because if they tell the FCC that it can't be done, then how is Google doing it? So it'll instill competition and innovation. So we're going to win in the end. Any other questions? Okay. Google TV is TV, a TV fumble. The one that I'm talking in particular is the Sony. Sony makes a TV that runs on the Android platform. It's a physical TV that any person would use. Okay. Samsung has released one. And more, there's more companies coming out with their own version of their Android TVs. TV is no longer the idiot box that sat in a corner without anything. Now they're using smart TVs that use processors that have operating systems that can make them do fun stuff. Yes, that's a good thing, Rob, and I agree that you should try and keep them up, you know, keep them abreast. You are interested, you want to know, you want to have this functionality. So this is very important. However, they have ways of dragging their feet, and so... Well, see, and Roger just said the very most important thing. We can give them a wish list. We can tell them what we need. We can collaborate and develop a standard. We can make it a guideline. But unless it becomes a law or a regulation that they must abide by, it ain't going to happen. $7.99 for the Sony 46-inch. But it looks good, according to sighted people. Yeah. Well, see... Yeah, and for those of you that don't have any desire to go and want to go the... inexpensive route and use Air TV. You can get those digital TV converters. There is this TV Speak. Are you guys familiar with that? From England or from Spain. Yeah, it's from the Mobile Speak Code Factory people. Is that right, Roger? Okay. They make a product called TV Speak. And it runs primarily, right now it works with your TV converters. Well, you can get a TV tuner. There's a Posh is the one that I have played with, thanks to my buddy Joe Liu. I have to give him credit. He buys all these new toys, and I get to play with them. Well, here's the thing. You're not going through cable. You're not going through anything but Air TV. And I can tell you guys that when I was trying that on the computer, I was able to get... I went from getting 2 through 13 and, you know, your basic UHF channels. I went from having a total of 17 channels to something in the order of 86 channels. I picked up NBC 1, NBC 2, NBC 3, NBC 4. So there were 4 channels for NBC and you know, there's a multitude of channels for other different things. I even found that Channel 28 does have children's television in other languages. So, there's the thing is that TV Speak is not for the average user. You got to have some sort of a computer savvy and be patient because it does require a little bit of exercise. When I spoke with, Earl Harrison, who is working for the company that distributes them, Handytech, thank you. They are supposed to come out with a version that will support
cable and direct and satellite. So at this point, it only works with air TV or digital broadcast, on-air broadcast. Yeah, that's a good question. In Southern California, is DSL Extreme $14.
Well, that explains why Canada has it.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting rid of DSL Extreme. I think they're horrible.
Ken is the only guy that will squeeze the nickel to the eagle.
No.
No,
actually, when I changed phone numbers, they told me I had to get a lower speed. And I understand that because it could be coming from a different central office. And I said that, you know, so, okay, so what about moving me? And I still have 3 months left on the contract. What they said is if you move it to a new phone number, you have to get a third-year contract.
That's ridiculous. You can't.
Well, they can.
No. Interesting. Yeah. But you know what? I don't know if DSL Extreme is nationwide or is it even available.
They are outsourced now.
They're outsourced now? Jeez. That's terrible. Well, so now you can go get your broadband service from 7-Eleven. Okay. I'm thinking of going Time Warner too, Ken. So anyway, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Let me know, let the people in the committee know what it is you want. And I must apologize. This past 6 months have been very hectic and very heavy for me. But things change at the end of December. I'm finished with school, and I will have more free time. And one of my other major projects will be completed in January, so I'll be done with that as well. So I want to do more stuff and bring more technology that you guys are interested in learning about and seeing. And perhaps, you know, we can also get involved and make a difference in how some of this technology starts to be implemented in society, because we're still part of society, like it or not. They got to make it accessible.
Louis, is there anything new yet? Maybe you covered it before I came in. I'm not sure, but anything new yet on the TV receivers, the sound receivers we used to use? Because I heard there were, I think you were working on putting stuff together.
You're talking about like the old TV radios we used to get? Okay. You know what? I keep hearing that Sengen is supposed to be having a digital TV tuner. I also have heard that, and I don't know, I have not talked to either Bob Crane or any of the guys at C. Crane Company, because they have a real cool radio. They say it's digital and it should receive digital TV broadcasts. I have not had my hands on one of those yet. I'm anxious to get it because this thing is supposed to be about the size of a cell phone. And it's supposed to be very, very blind accessible. So I will let you guys know. I will pop the link so you guys can see that and know about it.
Is the Siri?
Yes. Okay. Siri is. Are you guys familiar with what Siri is? Okay. Just to give you guys an idea, the iPhone 4. Apple just released the iPhone 4S. iPhone 4S implements a form of technology that's very accurate speech recognition with some heuristic technology built into it. What that means basically is this. Apple bought this company, Siri, and what they did is they went and figured out how to take that and implement that into their iPhones that now let's say that Ken decides to go out for a walk, and for some odd reason, he forgot to take his memory pills. And he ends up out in the middle of nowhere, and he says, where the hell am I? And he wants to know. And he wants to know, what is the nearest bus stop? So he can ask, where is my nearest bus stop? And the system will triangulate based on where his signal is coming from, and he'll tell him, you are 2 blocks from Deventer. Take bus number 158 going east or going west. Or let's say the kid gets hungry and says, I want to go eat Chinese food. He may say, I want to go eat. And it'll ask you, what do you want to eat? So you say, I want to eat Chinese food. So it'll look for Chinese restaurants right near the vicinity where he's at. And it'll give him directions. It'll tell you where they are. And you can ask for directions. Now, I tell you what some guys did, and I don't mean to offend anybody. But one guy was testing to see how good this thing was. So he says, I'm horny. And they gave him all the escort services in the area. Okay? Now, I also know people who have tried it with doing voice emails, dictating emails. It did an awesome job. Text messages. My brother has tried it with text messages, and he loves it. So it is something. This technology is going to tie into something that I'm working with the ASTM, having to do with accessible fitness equipment. Because when you're working, when you're jogging on a treadmill, when you're using an elliptical machine, the last thing you want to do is take your hand off the grips and try and feel for the screen to find the right button. What if you can tell it, increase the rate? What if you can tell it, reduce the incline? Or you can say, stop. What Siri is doing, what Apple is doing with Siri is basically giving us another step closer to total universal access. No. Is that what you want to know about, Ken? Okay. Yes.
Is there going to be any kind of firmware or software you can upgrade an iPhone 4, or is it a whole new
instrument? See, the iPhone 4S, my understanding is that it's got some hardware that's slightly different. However, it's a dual-core processor, my brother says. Okay. Okay, it's closer to the A5 than to the A4. Which my brother is the one that knows the behind the scenes stuff on telephones. You ask him about computers, I'll tell you. You want to know about telephones, ask him. But anyway, long story short is, Ken, there is talk, and I've heard from both sides that you do need to get a new phone. And I also heard somebody say that this is a software thing that just needs to be cleaned up to be made available on your regular iPhone 4. And the other thing, and I can tell you this, researchers are pushing it more for the iPad because in the world of rehabilitation and therapy, especially with returning injured vets who have had spinal injuries that have rendered them paralyzed, quadriplegics, they can talk to the devices and get information or, you know, have it control their stuff. So there is that segment of society that's pushing hard to make sure that this is made available in today's resources. Yes?
What about accessible rat counters?
Like a Geiger counter? Well, I'll put it this way. If Vicky can see you in the dark, you know you're in trouble. You know what's interesting? You know who would know the answer to that? Would be Noel Runyon. Noel Runyon walks around with a Geiger counter. So, that's right. Well, okay. Okay.
I'm gonna tell you what I know about that. Okay. Well, there's been a lot of work being done, not only in, even here at JPL, regarding polymers that make the production of refreshable Braille more affordable. They have found ways. Well, that's one of the reasons. Actually, it was through one of the projects they did at JPL that companies like Freedom Scientific are able to now produce a focus for under $3,000 and sell it, a 40-cell Braille focus. I have one of the focuses, and I love it. I can't stand Freedom, but I do have the Braille display. But to answer your question, Albert, there is a lot of stuff being done here and also in China regarding the use of newer, more efficient polymers to develop the technology to not only generate organic Braille dots. They're using low voltage, using organic polymers to synthesize Braille. And so if that can perfect it, then you're going to see the price of, you're going to see the potential for a Braille window. I'm saying 40 cells by about 25 rows. So that's not going to be in the distance, but it's going to be in the near future. Because right now they can do printed circuitry using organic inks, and if they got that perfected, no longer do you have to run wires. You can now generate your things through your printer and charge them up. Yes. Okay. It's 10 to 4, folks. Any other questions before we actually shut down? Okay, guys. Well, thank you. And once again, I want to apologize, unfortunately, because things out of our control through shipping and the delivery of stuff, things got lost. But nevertheless, we wanted to make sure we gave you something to go to leave you with new knowledge and new things. And once again, if you have a form of technology or any product or resource that you would like to have us consider, for the people that are partially sighted, I've already talked to one of our committee members to do a presentation on Zoom text and screen magnification, because there's a whole world there that I know the basics of it. I'm not a sighted person or partially sighted person, so I really can't tell you that I know a lot about it, because I don't. But that's right. But we have a member of the committee who I consider to be the expert in Zoom text and screen magnification. Okay, so once again, thank you. And I got to tell you guys that it's been wonderful. And please, the low vision program for the citizens with low vision is next. And with this, let me see what happens here. And I tell you guys, I'm happy that everything went well. Ron, slow down. Did you hit the wall, Ronnie? CCLV will be here at 4 o'clock, guys.